The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
If you notice, many years ago, or a couple of years back, not many, there were certain schools that when you get in, you can see at least 30, sometimes 100 people who identify with CYF then. You get the point? You can see up to 100. But currently, in some of those schools, you might not even find CF presence in those schools. And so we looked into it and we tried to find out why. And we realized that what we lacked was a sustainable strategy. A sustainable strategy that could make sure that whatever the Lord starts in this place can be running for the next 30 years, whether I'm there physically or not. Because those days we used to go physically to those schools. But then life began to get busy and all of that. So sometimes when an SS3 set passes, for instance, the Minister Rose, their set then, there were many in their set who had the problems with CYF. But when that set passed, the next set passed, you know, being able to sustain that flow, it was weakening by the day. I get what I'm saying? Schools like Science School now, you know, Soka then, you know, Ozioma, Pastor Cynthia, and the rest of them, their own sets had a couple of persons. So, and then when that set passes, sometimes you will not have sustainers. And so, the wisdom the Lord gave us, which is why I was teaching what I was teaching yesterday, is that we are going properly into school fellowship systems. So, we get to a school and set up a fellowship there. And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say, because what I'm saying is going to form the foundation for the teaching I want to do this afternoon. Are you here? We'll set up a fellowship there. Then we will maybe set a fellowship maybe at Osuka High School or something. Then we will send someone or two people from here that will be, in quotes, the coordinators of the fellowship. While we have, for instance, in St. Cyprian's now, there's already a fellowship there. I had the one there as a student leader. So we'll have a student representative in all those schools. But then we'll have an external person leading those fellowships. Why does a student rep in those places? So that even if the student rep, you're in SS3 already, that even if the person graduates, there is going to be a sustainable flow. Because there's already a fellowship there, and there is someone leading, coordinating, pastoring that fellowship from outside. I get the point. So the person will now appoint new leaders that will coordinate things. Maybe a student rep that will coordinate things. At least I will report. That will be the link between we and the school. Now, after this teaching, I'm going to announce some things, some ways we're going to run this year. Because we're not going to run the way we ran last year. What we are doing this year, majorly, our major assignment as a foundation this year, is to set up school fellowships that will become mentoring structure. So that when we go for moral instruction and we preach, after we preach in those places, there are a few persons that like what we say. You notice when you preach, sometimes come to ask you questions, they come around you. So that we can have a fellowship where we can be meeting with them every week to mentor them. I get what I'm saying. A young man met me, I think that's Henry's brother, met me at Doxa, right? And he told me about, you know, there was a time I was in Geneva for a CF stuff, and he started a fellowship in his school. Now, this without my knowledge. And he told me from then till when he left that school, that fellowship was running. But I don't know if that fellowship is still running till now. because he has graduated. I get what I'm saying. So what the issue is, there should be a structure from now that any school that the Lord begins to give us influence over, we set up a fellowship for the students that love what we are doing. They will gather every week where they will be trained, where they will be mentored, where they will be brought up. So by the time they are leaving secondary school, they are living as refined or at least prepared ministers in the hands of God. And they will become, now they're already part of the foundation. When they graduate, what we do with them, once they graduate, we send them back to different secondary schools too, to go and plant and oversee fellowships there. That's why I was shouting yesterday that if you're not ready to be on the go this year, you cannot be part of this foundation. Because at the end of this meeting, we're going to send everybody here that is not in secondary school to different secondary schools. And the people that are in secondary school here, we're going to send them and pair them with some people that are not in secondary school to cooperate with them and start up an effective school fellowship in their different schools. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So there will now be Champions Foundation in different schools. Shout a big amen. It has always been there, but it will now be very official. I get the point. So what we are looking at is, in every territory, like Enugu now, having at least 10 schools, 10 school fellowships, in Soka, 10 school fellowships, Obolo, 10 school fellowships, where people are being taught, they are being mentored every week. So that the impact we are making in the life of young people will not now be any time we come to preach in the assembly. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you catching the vision? So it wouldn't be only when we come for Doxa, so that we can have in maybe Queen's Comprehensive here, 30 people being taught, 100 people being taught, urban girls, 40 people. So imagine there is training, mentoring going on in over 10 locations in different secondary schools in town. I get what I'm saying. Uh-huh. When we will now have things like our territory programs, which I will still announce to us how it's going to run. We will now have territory programs. What we are trying to do is now to get all those people in those different fellowships, do you understand, to now attend the program. That way, now the people are already part of CF. Do you understand? So you're not even trying to invite them or to force them. They're already part of the system. So school fellowships will now come. So we'll have school fellowship from this place and that place and that place. They now come together. And they're not coming together as fresh people that we don't know. They're coming together as people that we've been teaching in the different secondary schools. I get the point. Mentoring in different fellowships. Are you getting the point? So when we come, we're going to have a smooth spiritual flow. Because there has been work going on at different places. So if you are not ready to commit to reaching out to and mentoring younger people, then you might not actually enjoy what you are doing this year. Because that is where we are channeling our energy. That's why I said yesterday, you might not really hear much of us on social media for now. But there's going to be real underground work going on. Just like it was last year. Already in Enugu, we have two schools. For instance, what's the name of that school? There's Queen's Model. There's already an existing fellowship there. Charles Foundation Fellowship existing there already. There is Morgan, that school that asked, said we should open fellowship for them. I don't know if you have done that, but what's the name of that school? Fountain Comprehensive. So if I think, was it Fountain Comprehensive that by themselves they said we should open a fellowship for them? Was it a school? Speak up. Yes. They said we can come anytime we want. And so there is that open door already. Some of the schools by themselves are requesting for school fellowships. What that becomes is a training hub for younger people. Where it can be happening? Because let me give an example. Some of you that are stronger today in your walk with God, if I look at even my wife, look at maybe Stozioma or Cynthia, look at some of you. For instance, I'll use three of them, for instance. When I was in St. Prince and all of that, I used to meet with them a minimum of once every week, unofficially. Either I'm in the chapel, I get the point, or they sneak out of their hostel and they come to my house. If I'm not meeting with them, but at least they may be there talking to them. You know those days now, or Brochema is in the chapel. There was always constant weekly mentorship. That's what produced many people. Shalom too was the same. Either there is somebody talking to them, or they're calling on phone, or we are coming for different reasons. If you don't have that kind of constant mentorship, we cannot produce strong people. Just going to preach in moral instruction once every 3 weeks or one or month cannot produce strong people. It can get when people saved, but we will not be able to achieve the vision of turning 40% of students into ministers. Remember I told you that yesterday? So I just want to show you what we want to do. And I'm starting this way to tell you to key in, catch the vision. Because God is going to do you a favor this year. And that favor God is going to do is that He's going to commit a number of young persons into your hands to mentor. And you must take it very seriously. And that's why I said something yesterday, which I'm going to do this teaching. I said something in the past yesterday, and I'm coming back to that teaching maybe later at night. I said, every time Jesus ever sent people on a mission, every time, He took time to give them instructions. Can I say that yesterday? Every time. In Luke 9, before He sent out the 12, He gave them instructions. Where to go, where not to go, what to preach, what not to preach, how to conduct themselves, everything. In Luke 10, the 170, He did the same thing. So because you are getting into what looks like a new phase for the ministry, which is not entirely new. We've been doing this. Just want to put structure to what we've been doing. Right? What looks like a new phase, I'm going to give you some instructions. So I'm talking about, how to plant. How to plant school fellowships. Say amen. I said say amen. How to plant secondary school fellowships. So this is a practical class. But it's going to bless you. This class will not benefit you if you have no plans of working with us this year. But if you have that plan, this will be your best class. Okay? So how to plant secondary school fellowship. Now, I'm already going because I'll start by discussing what is the need for school fellowship. Why do we need secondary school fellowships? Why do we need secondary school fellowships? Are you following me? Are you here? Are you here? Let's stand up, all of us. Let's stand. Everybody, open your feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, if you forget your voice at home, you can't forget your legs. So stand. Luke 10 and verse 2. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. So the major reason why we are trying to set up this secondary school system, okay, is because, like I showed you yesterday, there are not many people who are reaching a secondary school. Okay, you can sit. But don't try me next time. Because it's going to get bloody. Glory to God. There are not many people who are reaching a secondary school. So we need to create a system. Now, even the people that are going to reach out to them, there are not many bodies or fellowships where secondary school students can be mentored. Let me give an example. For some of the churches that some of us go to, if you get some of those churches, even if they have a teenage ministry, in quotes, what they do is either they're doing games or they're watching film or they're having fun. That's what they do for teenage people. There are not many structures where secondary school teenagers are taught to love the Lord, to serve the Lord. That was what CF presented to people when we started. For instance, there are not many forums where secondary school students are gathered and are taught to pray for 2 hours or 3 hours. Not many places. So again, I'm showing the laborers are actually few. The harvest is great.
There are not many places where secondary school students are taught to learn God's word. Not many places. And therefore, if we don't set up this structure where there are fellowships for mentoring younger people, where young people are mentoring young people, if there are no such structures, then the next generation will be in trouble. Let me tell you what I mean. There are already, and I said that in past yesterday, there are a lot of cults already who are doing what I'm, who have set up structures in especially boys' schools to mentor people into their cults. Into their cults. And we have to create that kind of structure. That's why there is need for this school's fellowship. So some people that are still in secondary school, in your secondary school, we will come and plant those fellowships. What you will be for us is the pathway that will make it easier for us to come in. Are you what I'm saying? To make it work. So that both you and other students can be mentored and taught to serve the Lord. So we're setting up these structures and this system because there's need for mentorship. There's need for mentorship. Many young people are not being pastored. Many young people are not being mentored. Many young people are not. Many of you know that as young people, you have each some of you, but when we met you, the reason why it was easy for some of you to follow us is because we were there to mentor you. We provided a listening ear. You had challenges you couldn't tell people. We were there to listen and to hear it. I get what I'm saying? You had concerns. And if we don't provide mentors for young people, they are not going to serve the Lord. I can tell you for free. I get the point. You know, I remember even this Enugu territory, when the likes of Henry came in, it was Ozioma then that was the territory coordinator. And all those mentorship structures will go a long way to now produce stronger Christians. So it's not enough that we just go to preach in those schools and we come back. We want to mentor people. So that by February when we're having a meeting, what I'll be asking you is, how many people do you have now? How are they growing? What is their spiritual life like? How are they doing? Imagine you get a JS1 student in your fellowship. And you begin to teach, because we're going to provide, I'll say this after this, we're going to provide a manual for teaching the school fellowships. It's not just anybody teaching what is in their mind. Provide a manual, line by line manual on what to teach. Imagine you pass that person through that manual from JS1 till he's in SS3. By the time he's coming out, I tell you, he must have gone through a 6 years Bible school as a small boy. That kind of person cannot get into the university and courts are pursuing him. Are you following what I'm talking about? He can't. So that's what we're trying to achieve. And let me say this. Without a strong fellowship structure, without a strong structure, revivals are lost. I'll say that again. Without strong structures, revivals are lost. What I mean is, if you go to preach in a school, and in the course of the preaching, the power of God breaks out in the school. People are falling up and down. People are crying. There's a strong of the spirit. And there is no place you tell them, let us be meeting every week. Come back to that school in 3 weeks' time. Everybody has gone back to normal. Because there is no way to gather. Let me tell you what revival is like. I'm using this word freely. But listen. May or June or July, August is coming. You wake up in the morning, there is heavy rainfall. Rain everywhere. The rain will last for 1 hour or 2 hours or 4 hours or 3 hours or 5 hours. No matter, some even 30 minutes, 1 hour. Some can last for the whole day. But guess what? The rain must stop. And when that rain stops, the water you keep using is the water you are able to gather when the rain was falling. So if you couldn't fetch water when the rain was falling, you will still be without water after the rain has fallen. Now that's the problem with many places. You go there, preach, there is massive salvation. People are crying, fire of God everywhere. How many will you be able to gather from that rain? That's what will continue after the rain has fallen. I get the point. That's what a church does. When that's why if you're doing an evangelical ministry, when you go and preach and many people got saved, the end of the day is how many people are able to fetch with your pocket. Because all those people are going back to the fourth setting, all of them. If they were collecting phone, they would go back and start collecting the phone. If they were smoking, they would go back to their smoking. The people that will stay are the people you were able to gather. That's why evangelical ministries like Reinhard Bonnke and the rest of them, they work with the churches. Because they know that people that will stay back after the flow will be people that the churches were able to gather into their buckets and their drums and their tanks. It's not what I'm talking about at all. And so, when we go for these our morals and big moves, do you know, let me say this to you painfully. There are people, when we went to Shalom, for instance, and I said this very painfully, at first, we had strong moves of God's Spirit. Some of those people, I mean, if you go to, some of you that were there when we started coming to Shalom, I think I was like Paul in Shalom. If I come into Shalom, everywhere is tanced. We can measure the Holy Ghost, the roof will be off. Miracles. A lot of people keyed into that flow. Do you know some of them are not even close to church today? Let me shock you. One of them, currently, is one of the most popular lesbians in Nigeria currently. She's loud about it on Facebook, on YouTube. She has a YouTube channel where she and her lesbian partner are showing their lifestyle. This girl was on fire for God in those secondary school days. I'm not joking. There was a time that I attempted, is it how many? Seven, I wish Pastor Maka was here, because it was their set. How many days fasting? That girl. Now, she's, I didn't say she's a secret lesbian. Openly, she's living her life. If you type the most popular lesbians in Nigeria, first 10, she's there. That's, if not first 5. You ask yourself, what happened to that kind of person? Because she was on fire. But the rain was over. The problem then was there was no strong structure that gathered what we were doing. So most of the people that are shouting, that's why we've mentored them in secondary school for these 3 years, 4 years. When they come out, we are absorbing them into the general house that is outside school. So that we will not lose. That's some of them that are finished secondary school. When you finish secondary school, nobody said, CF does not stop when you leave secondary school. But when you leave secondary school, CF actually starts properly. Because we will now begin to, in secondary school, we will be sending you to your school where you are schooling. When you finish, we can now begin to send you to different schools to go and do the same thing you are doing that people did to you or did for you. Are you following what I'm talking about? So, I say it again, without structure, revivals are lost. Rain will fall at different intervals. But the water that you will use is the one you are able to fetch. There will be massive salvation at your different moral instructions when you visit those schools. Different assemblies. Sometimes you can finish preaching and make altar call. You know how secondary schools respond to altar call? You make altar call, over 300 people can raise up their hand at once. They don't even know why they're raising their hand. You say they should come out. All of them will come out. But then, the water that you will use, the people that will serve the Lord, the people that will be the army God is looking for, will be people we are able to gather after the rain. So that's why we are raising school fellowships. So that we can have a system, a collecting system, where the harvest can be collected. Are you still here? Glory to God. So that's what we want to do. And that creates a sustainable system, even for the next generation. So that when people are now entering the school, as new students are entering the school, they can be joining the fellowship and the training continues and all of that. Now, how do you create a strong school fellowship? First is prayers. Prayers must precede the work. Number one, and that's why I had to, you know, our parents had to do that teaching. Prayers must precede the work of ministry. And so, if I ask you to go, give your school to go and plan a fellowship, don't just jump into that place. It's not a carnal thing you're about to do. You're not about to go and raise a social club. It's not a debate club, debate society that you want to go and raise. It is a spiritual job. So it must, M-U-S-T, it must be preceded by prayer. Sustained by prayer. Preceded by prayer and sustained by prayer. You must pray all manner of prayers. You must pray all manner of prayers if you are going to start off any work as a school fellowship leader. You need to pray, for instance, for clarity of assignment and specific instructions from God. Clarity of assignment and specific, what are the things God is saying you should do? I can give instructions from here, but you need to go and pray on your own. As God is sending me to this place, what are the specific things that God wants me to do? Clarity of assignment and specific instructions from God. You have to also pray, for instance, for the hearts of the people. First of all, for instance, the hearts of the school management. Because you have to go through the management. If you get into a place to plant your fellowship, and the management of the school begins to contend with you, that can slow down your work. So before you get into that place, you take the heart of the management in prayer. Is someone following me? Are you following me? You take the heart. I told you yesterday that today is going to be a marathon. Did I tell you about that? So why are you acting as if you are dull? I've not started though. I still do. So be ready. Are you ready? Uh-huh. You take the heart of the school management in prayer. In Proverbs chapter 21, in Proverbs 21 and verse 1, Solomon was writing. He said, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." So a king's heart, the heart of the principal is in the hand of God. The heart of the vice principal is in the hand of God. And God can turn it wherever he wills. Which is why before you go, one of the things you do is to pray for the hearts of the people you are going to go and meet. So you pray for the heart of the people. It starts with the heart of the school authority. Then you pray for the heart of the students that they are receptive unto you. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. They are receptive unto you. You pray. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. I referred to this yesterday. There's a noise in the background, so get it checked. Okay, MD. Did you hear me? There's a noise in the background, get it checked. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 16, verse 11. I'll start from 11. I referred to this yesterday. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is in the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we are in that city abiding certain days. Now watch. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which disordered theater, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Now read the next sentence. Whose heart the Lord opened. And so God can open the heart of people. And so before you get into those schools, you pray that the heart of the people will open up unto you. Such that when you announce, when they hear what you want to do, they are not there to fight it. They are open to it and they want to respond to it. And so you pray for the heart of the school authority. You pray for the heart of the students that their hearts will open up unto you as you begin what God has asked you to do. So don't just get into a school and begin to say, want to start fellowship. Even people that would have naturally responded to a debating club will not respond to school fellowship. And that's not because they hate God.
That is because you are doing a spiritual job, Satan will stand against you. And one of the places that Satan mounts his influence is in the heart of people. So he goes to their heart and begins to mess their heart up against what you want to do. And that will become a difficult thing. So you pray for that sort of people. Again, as I'm talking about it already, you handle spiritual forces over that land and over the school in the place of prayer. The Bible tells us that you cannot get into a strong man's land, house, and bind up the and try to plunder his house if you do not first of all bind up that strong man. Is someone following me this afternoon? You bind up the strong man. You bind up the strong man. And so there is need for warfare prayer before you go plant a school fellowship. There are schools that are dominated by wickedness. There are schools that there are small girls that have been sent there to initiate others into different cults. There are schools that are ravaged by the spirit of lesbianism. There are schools that cultism have a very strong ground. These are the things you are going to go and confront. And so you cannot come in casually and expect that the land will respond to you. It doesn't work like that. Are you following what I'm saying? When you hear me share testimonies of how I went to this school to preach and the whole school responded, what do you think preceded all those movements? Prayer. Prayer. You want the people to respond to you. Before you start off any work, give time to prayer. You're praying for the heart of men. You are praying for clarity. You are praying for satanic forces that have conquered the school. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 tells us that the God of this age has blinded the hearts of them that do not believe. Are you getting the point? In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So why do they not believe? Because something has blinded their hearts. So if you want to get them to believe, remove that thing that has blinded their hearts and they will respond to you. And one of the ways to do that is in the place of prayer. And that's why we took time to pray this morning. And we taught on prayer. So that when you get back, you should also pray. You should also pray. You should also pray. Some of you think we wanted to come to Shalom those days or come to Model or all those schools. We just walk into those schools? No. We pray. Pray. Sometimes through the night. Before we come. So when we come, the land is open, the heart of people are open, everybody is responsive. Amen. I said amen. So first of all, I said prayers must precede the work and must sustain the work. Prayers must go before and go within. And so you must pray before the work starts. You must pray while the work is ongoing. So first I said prayers. Number two, to start off a school fellowship, I always encourage you to, first of all, count the costs. And this is so important. Because if you don't count the cost and start, you will run away along the line. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 14 and verse 28, hallelujah. I said, glory to God. In Luke 4, verse 28, he said, which of you, intending to build a tower, seated not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Give me like NLT of that verse 28, 29, New Living Translation. He said, all that verse 28. He said, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who will begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Right? Verse 29. Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone will laugh at you. And that's how it works. You don't start projects, without counting the cost. Now, counting the cost does not mean you are doing it so that you can run away. No. It's good, I inform you, for instance, of certain possibilities that could come up when you start on a school fellowship so that you can prepare your heart for it. For instance, you could start and there is low turnout.
you could finish praying and get there. Because I have to prepare you. And the first day of the fellowship, only 3 people. The second day, they reduce from 3 to 2. It could happen. But because if you're not well taught, and you've not counted whatever cost and all of that, when it happens, you'll get discouraged. There are possibilities. So you must count the cost and ask yourself whether you are ready for this. I'm saying, if you start and there's only one person coming, are you ready? Have you counted? Are you ready to continue? Must count the cost. There are possibilities. We could send you and another person to a school to go and start a fellowship, and that person refuses to come. Every day you prepare and you come out, the person will not come out. So you could stand alone. You must count the cost, because you might have to stand alone. I learned how to stand alone. You know, I used to share this story. Many years ago, I wanted to went for a crusade, and I share this story. Went for a crusade, and the man of God worked miracles. He healed the sick and all of that. And I liked what he did. So I came back and I told my friends, I said, I have a leading in my heart that we should start visiting hospitals to go and pray for the sick. And they said, yes, we want to do that too. So I told them that what we're going to be doing, because we're still in secondary school. All of us are secondary. I was in SS2. SS2, SS3. So I told them that what we're going to do is, I was in SS2, not even SS3, SS2 particularly. That what we're going to do is, we'll fast on Fridays. Fast throughout Friday. Then we come to the church by 7 p.m. on Friday. And we'll pray till morning. Like, pray all night till 7 a.m. in the morning. And then when we do that, we go home, have our bath, change our clothes, then we go to the hospitals. Say amen. So we'll just fast throughout then. By the time we go home on Saturday morning, we will now eat. And go. And I say that, and all of us agreed we're going to do that. So on Friday, the day came, so I was fasting. I was fasting because we agreed we're going to fast. So I fasted. So when it was 7 p.m., by 6, I was already in church. I came to that chapel. I just stayed there. And I waited for these guys till 7. They didn't come. 8 o'clock, they didn't come. 9, they didn't come. 10, they didn't come. 11. It was an enclosed environment, so people could walk around at 3 times. So at 11 p.m., they came. So I said, how come you guys now came late? I thought we said we are going to gather by 7 p.m. How come it's 11 p.m. and you guys are just coming? You know what? They told me they are sorry that they didn't finish cooking early in their house. They had to wait to eat before coming out. I said, I thought all of us were going to fast. They said, we forgot. I said, it's okay. Let us now pray. They said, well, actually, they didn't actually come to this church for that prayer, so that they came for something else. So I prayed alone that night. Not the didn't come. There was one person that came. The other person didn't even show up at all. I prayed alone that night. I told the guy, till tomorrow now, 12 noon, we are meeting so that we can go pray for the sick. They said, okay. 12 noon, I came. I waited for them. I didn't see them. So I said, let me visit one of them to know. So I got there and I found both of them. That I said, thank God both of you are here. I've been waiting. We said we're going to meet by 12 to go preach. They said, that they were looking for a way to come communicate this to me. Then I went spiritual with it. They said, you know, that they've looked at themselves, that they are not yet at the spiritual level where they can go and pray for the sick. Long and short is, they are not going. Amen. So, I fasted yesterday. My fasting will not waste. So I came out. I stood outside. And that was, I remember that day, that was a defining moment for me in ministry. Whether you can go on to do what God wants you to do, even if it means going alone. That could be a reality in this school fellowship, because we're going to pair you guys. Maybe say you and you should go and preach. Should go and take over that school, take charge of that school. And maybe they even made the person a leader, and you are the assistant. And then the leader does not show up. Can you stand alone? You must count the cost. Are you following what I'm talking about? Are you following me? Must count the cost. What if you are the leader and your second, your assistant, does not even come? You must count the court. You must be ready. So I stood outside there and waited for some time. And I knew that moment was my moment. So I stood up and I went to the first hospital. Entered alone. As a small boy, SS2. What class are you in? You are done. Imagine that. Sorry. You're in SS3. So you are even older than me then. SS2. And imagine that small boy coming to the hospital. I wasn't this tall. I was very small. So imagine coming in. And it would have been okay if it were two or three, don't you think so? For moral support. But I was alone. I entered the first room, preached and prayed. Second room, preached and prayed. Third room, that was my moment. I had to learn how to stand alone. Even if another person is going to come with me, I have to learn how to stand alone. That training has not left me till today. Whatever God said I should do, even if all of you do not show up, I will come and do it alone. I've learned how to stand alone. It's a possibility that I could come up in ministry. That everybody, we could all finish this retreat, all of us have agreed to do this thing, and then we go back and only you is available. You must count the cost. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a major possibility that could happen. That at times in ministry, you might have to stand alone. But let me even say, standing alone is a skill in ministry everybody must master. Especially if God is giving you the privilege of going to start anything. Like now, you're going to start school fellowship. You must master how to stand alone. That there will be days you will come and all your students and mentees did not come out. You must learn to stand alone. That we might call for evangelism in the territory. And on that day, your coordinator has told you, oh, I will not be around. So, you take charge. And you get there. And you are the only one that came. Will you go home or can you go alone? It's a major skill. Everybody must master how to stand alone. How to stand alone. Now, there is need for synergy in ministry. Quite all right. But you must learn how to stand alone if need be. If need be. That if we set up the ushering team of your territory, and you are the only person that agreed to be part of an ushering team, you must learn to do the work alone without complaining. You must master how to stand alone. Of course, you must also master how to work with teams, how to work with people. But master how to stand alone if need be. I can tell you this. When I was school fellowship president, I had over 10 to 15 leaders. I don't even remember because I don't even know their names as I'm talking to you. I don't even know who they are. After they just announced us as leaders and laid hands on us, some of them, I never saw them again. There were only two people that I kept seeing from time to time. One was Fumi, the other one was Austin. Only two of them. My secretary never came. I don't even know who my treasurer is. For real. What I mean, I don't. I mean, they never call meeting, they will not show up. Now, to the glory of God, that fellowship was less than 20 the day they handed over to me. The day I handed over that fellowship, we were 200 and something. I mastered how to stand alone and get it done. I feel what I'm saying. That was when I got into the university and they made me JCP president. The previous JCP president, the JCP house, had over 15 to 20 executives. Myself, they gave me only 4 executives. It didn't shake me at all. Because what I was saying to them in my heart that day is, even if it's only me, I will do it. And I've mastered how to stand alone. I'm saying you must learn. If there are people cooperating with you, fine, work with them. If there are no people cooperating, the job must be done. Even if it means doing it alone. Is all following me this afternoon? Master how to stand alone. Now, I'm just saying, count the cost. These are things that could happen. For instance, we were talking about it yesterday. Money could finish. Because leading a school fellowship, for instance, will demand that you have to go there every week. Somebody say every week. Say every week. It demands that you have to be there every week. What are the possibilities? That there may be a Tuesday you wake up and there is no money. You must count the cost and be ready to trek if need be. Because you must be there every week. And so if you don't count the cost, you might get frustrated along the line. I'm telling you the possible things that could happen. And that may actually happen. Because you might wake up on a Friday. That day you are totally out of cash. Nowhere to get help from. What are the things that will come to your mind? Must you go today? Call somebody in the school and tell the person to preach on your behalf. You will not kill yourself. Crazy. If you start that, your fellowship has scattered. You must count the cost. You must count the cost. What is the cost of going to a certain school every day, non-stop for 1 year? That is heavy financial cost. You must count the cost. Apart from heavy financial cost, there will be days you will trek. You will count the cost. There will be days as a university student that you will run out of your lecture room and run to that place and finish the fellowship and run back to your lecture room. Count the cost. There may be days that are not fellowship days and you just get a call from the school, sir, that one of the students is sick and you leave your hostel as a student and run to that place. You must count the cost. It is the cost of running a fellowship. So that you don't just get excited because you say we're going to do fellowship, you must count the cost. Know the possibilities. Know the things that could happen. And prepare for it. Are you still here? I said number two. Number one is prayers. Once you're in school fellowship, pray a lot. Number two, count the cost. And make up your mind that no matter what, you're going to get the job done. Are you still here? Number three, start reaching out. You reach out to the students. First of all, not students now. First of all, you might need to reach out to the school authorities where we'll send you to let them know what you want to do, to share the vision with them. To share the vision with them. And don't go there beggarly. Please, we want you to allow us to. We want to create a forum where students are mentored, where they can do better academically, do better spiritually, do better morally. That's the vision you are sharing with the school. Are you what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? People do not respond to needs. People respond to visions. And so when you go to talk to a school management about setting up a school fellowship for them, you must share it and communicate it as though you are bringing a big vision. That's what it is. Let them see the need. Because every time you come to talk to a principal or something about starting up something in their school, they have only one question. How will this benefit us? That's what they're thinking about. This is actually a secret in pitching contracts. If I want to go and tell somebody I want to give me this contract, they want you to tell them how it will benefit them. Whether they say it or not. So how will this benefit us? So we are Chambers Foundation. I want to open fellowship in your school. Get out of my office. That's the next statement. Get out. Because what's that? Are you what I'm saying? You're sharing the vision. We are Chambers Foundation. We are a team of young people who go about raising an army for the Lord and all of that. We want to create a mentorship system in the school where we'll meet with people every week, where people will be trained to be strong spiritually, to be strong academically, to be strong morally, to be strong in their studies, to be strong career-wise. You are talking so that if he's a good person, he's listening to you and he's seeing how this will make the students better. How this will make the students have a stronger walk with God. How this will make them have a stronger academic life, academic pursuit. They're also seeing how it will make life easier for the school management in that it will help them morally. Because if the students are morally okay, the school management can rest. Are you what I'm talking about? This is why fellowships like FCS, Scripture Union, that's why many schools let them. Because what they promise to offer to the students, they are going to offer morality to them. I feel what I'm saying. So you go there, you are sharing a vision. So it's not just about, let's open fellowship for people. They say no. Say, Daddy, they say no, we cannot come. Who sent you? You are going to share and communicate a vision. The vision God has put in your heart. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Write the vision. Make it plain. Please, give me that verse on the screen. Write the vision. Make it plain. That he may run that readeth it. Give me NLT. Write the vision. Make it plain. Read with me, everybody. Talk, talk, talk. Start again. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. So communicate the vision so clearly so that other people can catch it and run with it. So that the school management can catch it and run with it. That he that readeth it may run. So, you know, I used to say this jokingly. I have this guy that said he once came to me that he wants to start a ministry. And every time he comes to me about that ministry, I always ask, tell him, what is the vision of this ministry? Please tell me. Every time he's done talking, I don't understand nothing. And I'm not joking. I'm not saying this because I'm saying this sincerely. And I've told him, I don't know what you are doing. Is this a church? He said, no, it's not a church. Is it an outreach ministry? He said, well, yes. But we also meet every week. I said, okay, to do what? We teach. So you'll be teaching. Yes. So is that an outreach ministry? You'll also be reaching out. Is it a church? No. Crazy stuff. But you want to plant it in a city. You want to live in another city. How do you intend to do that? You know, a lot of crazy stuff. I said, I gave him this verse. I said, write the vision. Make it plain. You see the way I explained to you what is Service Foundation doing? We are raising an army of young people. It's as anybody can catch it. How are we achieving this? I'm already telling you, we go to schools, preach to them, set up fellowships there where they are being mentored. Once in a while, we call youth programs where they are blessed. Simple. So when you go to those places, tell them, I'm here. Because we want to set up a structure of mentorship where people will be mentored spiritually, academically, morally, and what we meet with them every week. That's what Champions Foundation exists to do. So, if they now catch the vision, in fact, if they understand the vision and believe in it, they might even be the ones encouraging other students to go. I know what I'm saying? Because you communicated the vision very clearly. So, I said the first thing, you start reaching out. The first reaching out, of course, you reach out to the school management, communicate the idea and the vision, what you want to do with them. Of course, you begin to reach out to the students. Now, hear what I'm going to say. Reaching out to the students is actually two things. One is you preach to them. Of course, this is the word, preach the gospel to them. Then secondly, you share the vision with them. Now, let me make this sharing the vision very easy for you. What do you preach to them? I already showed you yesterday. Remember, were you here yesterday? Were you here yesterday? The missionary and the mission. What do you preach to them? You preach the gospel to them, salvation in Christ Jesus, and you preach that God wants to raise an army, God wants to use it. Remember I said that yesterday? Now, you preach it. Now, the part of sharing the vision is what I want to talk about. Sharing the vision is not actually a complicated statement. There is one question you are trying to answer when you are sharing the vision of your fellowship to students. That question is simply, why should we come to your fellowship? Simple. So, if you want to student, why should they come? There is fellowship tomorrow, 4 p.m. Come. That's not sharing a vision. You made an announcement. The question begging for answer in the heart of young people when you are talking to them is, why should we come? So, that's, I'm teaching you something. If some of you go for dogs or publicity, We are having those that attend. The question that I ask you is why? Why should we come? Some of you that are in churches where you do church publicity, you are sharing handbill. That's the same question I'm asking you. Why should we come? We have things to do. Some of these school fellowships will meet after school, right? In some of the schools, after school. We meet 1 hour after school, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Why should we refuse to go home and give you an extra 1 hour after the whole day stress? So it's not just enough to come up to the assembly and announce, we are starting a fellowship in this school, oh. Come and be blessed. Now, will you go for that kind of thing? So when you are done preaching, you share the vision. It doesn't have to be long. Just be able to answer this question. Why should we come? What do we stand to gain if we come? You that is still in secondary school, if you are telling people to come for CF fellowship in your school, that's Champions Foundation meeting in your school, the question I ask is, why should we come? There is possibly SU in our school. There is SCM in our school. There are, in fact, some fellowships, some schools have up to 10 fellowships. Are you aware? There was a time schools and participants had many. Why should we come to your own? So what are they asking you to do? They're asking you to cast the vision. Sell the vision, let us buy. And so you now begin to say things like, I want to invite you to become part of this Champions Foundation meetings weekly. Here we will make sure, it is a team that makes sure, we'll make sure that you become a solid instrument hand of God. How many of you here, you are talking to the students now, want God to use you? How many of you here want God to use you to raise the dead? How many of you here want God to use you to heal the sick? How many of you want God to use you to be a blessing to other people? In these meetings, we'll be preparing you to become solid instruments that God will use to change his world. You are not giving them a reason to come. I know what I'm talking about. So when I say go and reach out or share the vision, it's not to carry mark and announce, there will be fellowship tomorrow. They're not going to come. Because they want to find out why they have to come. I get the point. We are going to teach you how to do life as a student. Some of you that have academic struggles, God can help you conquer those struggles. And so when you come, with the help of God, with the teaching of the word, with prayers, you will do better academically. You can also tell them. Some of you that have questions, that you have nobody to ask, questions around your relationship, questions around your struggles, your habits, your addictions, that you don't have anybody to ask those questions. We will be there to provide a listening ear and to answer your questions. Even if it is you want to go. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following me? So, publicity, this is a digression now, is beyond sharing handbill. You must answer the question, why should I come? What do I stand to gain? Because everybody is profit driven. I hope you know. Everybody wants to know what they stand to gain. Everybody is profit driven. Say amen. So why should I come? Why should I be there? So if you're calling it a healing meeting, this, just making a big digression now. If you're calling it a healing meeting, how do you publicize a healing meeting? If you are sick, Jesus will heal you. You are giving them a reason to come. So somebody that is now sick can now come. Now, what if you are not sick? You can also add, we'll also be imparting the healing anointing and all of that if you are not sick. Now, all people want to know is that you should give them a reason to attend your meeting. You know, in Luke chapter 10, some of you wonder, in the days of Jesus, I've said this many, many times, how was Jesus able to have the kind of crowd he was having? He comes to a place that is a massive following. Do you know how he was able to achieve those crowd? Before he goes to those places, he will send his disciples. Look at it here. Right? NLT said, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples
and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. So when he wants to go to Enugu, he sends 72 that they will go there. Now, what are they going to tell people? They'll be telling them, Jesus is coming here. Now, if you just say Jesus is going to come here, those people will not come. So what would they do? They begin to sell the ministry. The guy healed the sick. Do you know that leper that was begging along Ogurude is now healed? Jesus healed him. Do you know that blind guy? So they're giving you a reason to come. So when you hear all this, you yourself want to come and know who is even this Jesus. Are you following me? And so when we send you to go and do a work, reach out to them and sell the vision. So you're already in school now, in secondary school. You're a leader. You want to invite people to come and become part of your fellowship. Don't just say, there's fellowship tomorrow morning. Come. Mm-mm. I get the point. That's what I say. Tell them, if you want to be a solid Christian, if you want to do well in your walk with God, if you want to be able to, if you have questions that you need answers to, if you are struggling with an addiction, you want God to help you, all of that, come. So you are giving them something, a reason to come around. And so, you reach out to them, preach the gospel to them, preach our message to them, and share the vision with them. Are we still here? I said, are we still here? So you're reaching out to them. Then as you're doing that, hear what I'm going to say. Start with the people that show up first. Now, do not wait till there are 2 million people. If you announce it the first day, share the vision the first day, and the next of the fellowship, only 2 people come, start with them. What do you start doing with them? Start training them. Start committing to them personally. In fact, let me say this to you. Sometimes why there are a few people that show up at first is because God wants to prove you. God wants you to prove that if there are 1 million people, you can take care of them. So what do? There are 10 people that showed up today. Teach them. Train them. Commit to them personally. What is your name? Give them assignments. Because there are not plenty yet. So you can manage them. So you read this book. We'll discuss it next week when you come. You study this place. I get the point. Can you give a corporate assignment? Every day, pray for 30 minutes. Commit to them personally. You are trying to train them. Start with those people that came. Those people that came, start with them. While you are reaching out to other people and encouraging your people to also reach out to other people, start with the people that came and start pouring yourself into them. To me, it's a way you're proving and you're showing God that if you add 30 more people to us, we will handle them. If there are 10 people that have started coming for what you are doing, and you don't even know their names, you don't even know their faces, you don't even know them. So what is the guarantee that God has that if he gives you 100 people, that you can be able to mentor them? Where there are 10 people you don't even know, don't even have time. And you are trusting that one day it will be 100. So if there are 10 people, there are 5 people, there are 3 people, commit to them. When you come, teach them. After the fellowship, talk with them. How are you doing? How is this? We have an assignment. I'm going to give all of you an assignment. So the assignment is read the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and 2, summarize it. Next week, I'm going to see what you've done, what you're doing. You're mentoring them. Commit to them personally. The first people that respond to any move of God. Now, you might not know what I'm going to say, but let me just say it. The first set of people that respond to any move of God are very, very important to that move. God is always careful about the first people that respond. I learned what I'm saying. If I go to plant a church, for instance, this is not a fellowship, I go to plant a church somewhere, the first 20 people that come, I'm always careful about them. Check every church you know. It is always those first people that eventually form the pastors, the bishops. I get the point. So if you go to plant a work, those first set of people that come, if you do your work well with them, they will be the ones that will begin to mentor other students 1 year or 2 years from then. So when people begin to come, don't say, there are not much. Start preaching out to them. Start preaching to them, sharing God's word with them, mentoring them, training them, committing to them personally, and encouraging them too to reach out to other people. So you're sharing the vision, reaching out to them, mentoring them and all of that. Are you learning something? Are you still here? Should I continue? Are you tired? You're tired. But do you have room for more? You should have room for more even if you're tired. Say amen. Now, I ask you and I give you the answer to give me. So are you tired? Do you have room for more? Say yes. That's what you say. Glory to God. Now, so you keep preaching out and you encourage people to do the same. Now, let me say a few things. There are mistakes you must avoid. Maybe because some of you are really looking tired. So I'll just stop here. But in our meetings monthly, I'll be addressing these matters. I'll be going further into this teaching. Because I know as some of you begin to do your work, there will be issues here and there. So I'll be answering these questions. First mistake to avoid, I've talked about them already, is getting discouraged because there is fluctuating attendance. It's a major mistake of planters. So you come on the first day, there were 50 people. You are now expecting that after the powerful move of God we had today, that next week we are going to be 70. That next week, you guys are now 15. Do not get discouraged because of fluctuating attendance. Attendance will fluctuate. And it can fluctuate for different reasons. Different reasons. To start with, when you start off first, there are some that will just come to even know what is even going on here. So some of them may not come back again. I get to the point. It may be that the day of the school fellowship, there may be fluctuating attendance because that day, they pursue people home for school fees. So it drop the number. There can be different reasons why there is fluctuating attendance. So don't ever get discouraged by it. I'm saying this for people that plant churches too. Don't get discouraged by it. If you plant, I've planted many churches in my life, so I know what I'm saying. Some days you could come, there are 30 people. You are so happy that there are 30 people today. You know, planting a church and planting a school fellowship is not the same thing. Planting a school fellowship is a lot easier because there is a group of, there is a school already, there are students there. You know what, you can just go to their classes and bring them. But planting a church is in a bigger town. So, you know, you see 30 people are so happy, you preach powerfully, you do ministration, you even give them prophecy one by one. And then you think that next week you guys are going to be 70. By that next week, you see about 7.5 people. 7.5, because that is half. That half, he came towards the end of the service. So you just got the 7.5. You don't wonder what is happening. Don't ever get discouraged. There will be fluctuating attendance. That's one mistake you should not make. Second mistake you shouldn't make is impatience. Impatience / desperation. Don't be impatient. Anything that God does will take time. That's one thing I've demonstrated to you guys. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, is it 2 or 3 years ago, we stopped the flow of this foundation entirely. Some of you were here. And we opened the door for a lot of people to go. Over 100 people or more left at that time. And the Lord said to me, start building everything afresh. And you see how I've been patiently doing it, not rushing. I'm not even bothered that patiently. When you get to the work, don't be impatient. There is nothing that is done in a hurry that will stand the test of time. Because what impatience is going to breed is desperation. Desperation will now cause you to want to get things done at all costs. At all costs. You will now, you know, begin to come up with crazy things. Some people even begin to fight other fellowships. That is SU fellowship there. You now begin to tell SU people, leave your own and come and join our own. Don't ever do that. That's desperation. Are you following me? Don't ever. Now, if somebody wants to leave and come and join, it's person's business. But you don't begin to say, all the fellowship are not serious. SCM is not serious. FCS is not serious. SU is not serious. We are the ones that are doing well. Don't do that. You're just a desperate person. And you that I'm sending secondary schools to go and do this work, don't put that mindset in the heart of the people that our fellowships are rubbish, they are demented. Don't do that. You are being desperate. Be patient. And patient does not mean you are slow. Patience means you are consistent. Patience means you are constantly doing what you have to do to get the job done. Don't be impatient. Another mistake you should not make is to be ashamed of your work because it's not looking like what other people have yet. This is one major mistake church planters particularly make. Maybe you want to start a fellowship, you want to start a church, and all around in your environment, there are different other churches. Maybe your pastor says you can plant a branch of your church. And all around that place, there is this church by the side. They have instruments. They have lead screen. There is the other one. They have 5,000 people. And then you, in your own place, you guys are only 7. No instruments, no mic, nothing. Never be ashamed of your work. You go to school fellowship to go and do your work, and there are only 4 people. Love those people and be there. Be proud of them. Be proud of them. If it was only one person that was on earth, Jesus would have still died for the person. Jesus went all the way, I showed you yesterday, went all the way through Samaria to be able to reach that Samaritan woman. Now, don't be ashamed that there are 5 people. Don't be ashamed that there are 6 people. Don't be ashamed that the people that are coming to your fellowship are the unserious people in school. Don't be ashamed that it's only JS1 students that are coming. It's even a good thing. Because if it's only JS1 students that are coming, it means if you do your work well, there is future. It means you have them for at least 5 years or 6. Don't be ashamed. Some of you that are dumb in secondary school that are even working, you know, some of you are nurses, some of you are different professions, doing well. Don't be ashamed of mingling with secondary school students, touching sand with them and playing with them all over the place. Don't be ashamed of that. That's what the ministry demands. I remember when I was teaching children ministry in our church then, my church then, children ministry, I was in SS3. I was a children teacher. I mean, small children. And if you know what it means to teach children, you have to be a child. So I used to play with every kind of play. Every day you go to children's church and come out, you must be looking interesting. Dirty. Every kind of play. Look at Jack, Nani, Mark, but you do all of that. Big boy like me. Man of God. I can say, yeah, let's dance. All kind of things. Now, one of those that was doing that, and this girl, she was my classmate in Shalom, but then she left to science school. And that particular stuff was happening in the science school compound. So she was seeing me from a distance. And when I greeted her, I said, Dima Alpha. I've got her name. Sorry. So I just said, how far? She said, fine. He said, Keginumak. Now just pick how she said it exactly. Keginumak and Apito Areba. And for it was Apito Are, because there's no way you can explain that. And I just laughed and told her, well, I'm enjoying my work. That's what I told her. I'm enjoying my work. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So the fact that you are now a big person, you now have car, or you are now a doctor, an engineer, you can no longer go and talk, you are now ashamed to be seen. I'm proudly a pastor of teenagers. If God sent me to children, I'm proudly children pastor. I wear it like a big badge. It's even a privilege that God is sending you to those places. So don't be ashamed. You get to the school, there are only 3 people that come. Other people may be passing and they are laughing at you. Don't ever try it. Be ashamed. There are 3 people. Preach like there are 500 people. And maximize the opportunity. If there are 3 people, if I come to plastic church and there are 3 people, those 3 people will suffer in my hand. They will so grow spiritually because there are only 3. So I have time for that. I can be calling them every day. But there are only 3. I get what I'm saying? If I want to be doing personal vigil with them, every day I can be doing it. There are a few. But if there are many, you don't have all those privileges. So don't be ashamed of your work. Many church planters close down. I tell you sincerely, talking about church now. Many church planters close down because of shame. Yes, shame is one major reason. Because they are passive, people are going to laugh at you.
Some of them even ask you if it's church you are planting them. I even ask, are you sure God call you? Or you call yourself? Don't be ashamed. I get to the point? Don't be ashamed. Maybe the people that are coming to your fellowship are the unserious people, because that's what some of you will experience. Those unintelligent people will be coming. Those unserious people will be coming. Those Jesus students who used to have their buttons torn, that are the ones that might be coming. Don't be ashamed of them. God is giving you a privilege to rearrange their lives. Is someone following me this afternoon? Don't be ashamed. So that's another mistake church planters make. They become they become ashamed of what God has given them to do. So don't be ashamed. Are you here? Are you here? Another mistake to avoid is not committing to your own growth. Not committing to your own personal growth. Your personal growth. You see, your ministry cannot grow beyond your level. Now, don't hear what I need. I didn't say you may not have number. Well, I'm still talking about growth shortly before I close. You might have number, you might have 2,000 people, but your ministry cannot grow beyond your level. What I mean cannot grow, they cannot grow. Their spiritual growth, for instance, cannot be more than what you've attained. Because you're the one leading them. So those people who are sending to go and lead, right? They cannot grow beyond your number. So 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Now tells us, Paul talking to Timothy, his son, he said, take heed to yourself. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. He said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Now, look at what I want to show you. He said, continuing them, for in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. In other words, Timothy, pay attention to yourself and what you teach, because if you do it, you will not only be a blessing to yourself, but to people that hear thee. So the people that hear you will benefit from your personal spiritual growth. I'll say that again. The people you are sent to will benefit from your personal spiritual growth. I'll say that again. The people you are sent to will benefit from your personal spiritual growth. So if you have a weak prayer life, the people you are sent to will benefit from that weak prayer life. If you have a weak study life, they will reap from a weak study life. It will show. If you are the type who does not have a personal prayer life, it will affect how they are. So, Timothy, take it to yourself and to the doctrine. In doing this, you will not only save yourself, you will save them that hear you. Are you following me this morning, this afternoon? And so, if you are the type who is playing with sin, who doesn't take his spiritual life seriously, who doesn't go for meetings, who doesn't attend church services, who is very unserious in his spiritual life, you will not produce the kind of ministry that God wants you to have. So as a leader, take it to yourself and to the doctrine. For in doing this, you will save yourself. That's why this year, almost all our meetings will be doing ministry training. Sometimes we even give you books to read. There are books to read. Amen. For instance, if I'm going to give you a school to handle this year, the first book you have to read this year, if you're going to handle any school, is Take Heed. You know that book? Take Heed. That's how you're going to start. We'll read it. We'll summarize it. Submit it to your territory coordinators. I'm already giving you an assignment too. And I'll ask them how it went. Take Heed. Read the book, summarize it. Because your own personal spiritual growth is so important. Many pastors do not pay attention. Many leaders do not pay attention to their own people. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. You cannot take people to a place you've never been to. I'll say that again. You can't take people to a place you have never visited. So if you've not known what it means to be a solid Christian, you cannot make anybody a solid Christian. You have to be a solid Christian before you can produce a solid Christian out of anybody. Leaders, listen to me. You cannot take people to a place you've not visited.
What I'm saying is, if you are the driver, or you're a guide, you're a tour guide, you're taking people on a tour, you need to be conversant with that place to be a tour guide. How many of you would like to enter the vehicle of a driver going to Abuja who has never visited Abuja in his life? I said, don't worry, make where they go. Make where they go. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me? So how do you think that you can suddenly make people solid spiritually, whereas you are not solid spiritually? So the people we are telling you to go and lead, you must commit to your own personal spiritual journey. Is someone following me this afternoon? Your own personal spiritual journey. So take it to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. That's how you will save yourself and them that hear you. Amen. In other words, the life of them that hear you are in trouble if you do not take it to yourself. If you are not serious with your spiritual life, their own life is in trouble. That's why I can tell you this for real. There are many people in the body. I'm not saying this is the only reason, but I'm going to say this to you. There are many people that are trying to do ministry who God by himself will limit their influence. Yes. Because those people are not making any personal investment in their personal life. So the more they are exposed and they are giving more people to take care of, they will make a mess of those people's life. Take your life seriously. 2025, take your prayer life seriously. Take your study life seriously. Take your spiritual growth seriously. Commit to your own personal growth. Because all of you, all of us are young. Some of you are even too small for what God wants to put into your hand. Some of you don't even know anything to preach. And God still wants to trust you to give you the job. What does that mean? Be serious with your spiritual growth. Are you following me? Are you still here? Be serious with your spiritual growth. That is the only way your life can now begin to be a blessing to people. Amen. I said amen. You know, if you bring foam, like cut a piece of foam, and you put that foam inside water, and just put it inside water, and you bring it out. If you squeeze the foam, water will come out, right? But if you dip that foam into water and leave it inside that water for 2-3 days, if you bring out that foam without squeezing, without much effort, water will be coming out. If you spend so much time with God, without much effort, what will flow from you will be a blessing to people. But if you are unserious with your prayer life, unserious with your study life, you will always be doing ministry mechanically. Just like if you want to get water from that foam, you have to squeeze before water comes out. But if that foam has been in water, you don't squeeze, it just flows. Let me give you an example. That's why, for instance, I tell you this for free. You see Pastor Henry now. Wake me up at any time. I can take you on a 6 hour teaching. I said anytime. I said, now, Kevin, even without preparing the message, it will flow. I wanted to say something now, but let me leave it. Without preparing the message, it will flow. Do you know why? What I'm teaching you is an offshoot of my study life. I know it. If you're the type that will only read your Bible where you want to preach, you are like that foam that they just put into water and they squeeze it and water will come out. You only pray where you want to preach. But if you already have a solid prayer life, solid study life, anytime they wake you up, you are dripping water. Come on, I feel like I'm talking about this afternoon. Anytime. It doesn't mean that you don't prepare where you want to preach. I prepare when I want to. Even this morning, I worked on this message I'm preaching to you now. But then,
Even if I didn't prepare this message, I know this thing. I can start talking to you about it anytime. Have a study life. Have a prayer life. Read books. Not because you want to go and preach. Read books. Read books. Read books. Read books. Amen. I said amen. Let me ask your neighbor. Say neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Say neighbor. Touch the press. It will not beat you. Say neighbor. How many books are you going to read this year? Now, I'm not talking about your school book. How many books? How many spiritual books will you read this year? Get an answer from them. Okay, scratch that. Ask the person. Say neighbor. Make sure you're talking to somebody. Neighbor. Is there any book you are reading now? Tell me the name. Did your friend say anything? Now, if the person said none, ask the person, when will you start reading? Hallelujah. Okay, help me say neighbor. I should say neighbor. This last festive period, which book did you read that period? What did they say? You are eating chicken. Huh? You didn't read any book. Hallelujah. Be serious. Oh. Be serious. Don't only pray for 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours when we have meeting. I'll say, let us pray. Have a solid prayer life. Have a solid study life. You will save yourself and them that hear you. So commit your personal growth. Many people, and if I let me even say something to you. When the discouragement that ministry brings come, it is your personal growth that will give you strength to keep going. I mean, when you come and only two people are in the fellowship, when you come and people are not responding, when things are not moving well, the only way you can generate strength to keep going is your own personal spiritual growth. Some of you wonder, Pastor, you never get tired. Let me teach you something about strength. Every strength has its source in something spiritual. Every strength. So, Pastor, you never get tired. You're always going. There is a strong base. I preached yesterday in church, right? I preached yesterday in the evening here. I'm preaching now. I'm going to preach in the evening. Tomorrow, some of you are going to go home and go and rest. I say, I want a stressful retreat. I'll be in the office by tomorrow, 12, to counsel people till evening. I'll be in the office on Wednesday too, to counsel people till evening. By Thursday, I have another retreat that I'll be preaching Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, where do you think that kind of strength is coming from? It's not from my head. I don't used to carry weight. And even if you are carrying weight, it doesn't supply that kind of strength. It is the strength of your own personal walk with God that will now translate to ministry strength. I feel like I'm talking about. And I can be, you see, some of you are already tired. I'm still starting. Can you see now? Say amen. I think I should lock this door because some of you are looking. I run out of this church very soon. Don't worry, I'm rounding up already. Are you happy now? Mm-hmm. But for real, every strength has its source in something spiritual. You know why I learned this? The story of Samson. Once he had his walk with God intact, he could lift anything. He could tear the mouth of the lion. Every strength to carry out the work of God is found in something spiritual. That's why there are certain things, you know, we had our crossover service in church. By the time we finished, I think it was around 3 a.m. already, I was at home, and I picked up my phone. I was giving one of my pastors some instructions that night. I just replied, Daddy, don't you sleep? Don't you get that? No, what she didn't realize, that even that night, by the time I came back, around 1 or 2, I still got an emergency call about somebody's health and attended to it that early morning. Now, I do not get tired. Now, don't get it twisted. I know I rest, though. I rest because I need to rest. People around me literally beg me to sleep. Now, I wasn't born like that. But there is a strength that the Spirit of God supplies. And that strength is found from your own personal devotion. Your personal growth. It's built. Every strength for ministry has its base in the strength of your personal walk with God. Personal walk with God. Because I tell you the truth, if you try to host Doxa and be preaching every day without strong water, you might break down. Maybe not health-wise. You might run out of energy. Some people do ministry for some time. Some of you have expressed what I'm saying. I run out of energy, run out of motivation. You don't even want to do again. You see that weakness? It comes from a weak devotion. Let me tell you. Are you following me? Have you ever got to the point where you don't want to do again? Has it ever happened to you? Say the truth. Where you are just so weak. Where you are exhausted. Look at why. It's because you are giving more than you are taking in. Did you hear what I said? You take in 30 kilograms of the word of God. And then you are up and down giving out 70 kilograms. Or you will die. So before you know, you run out of energy. You run out of motivation. You run out of strength. You don't even want to do it again. Because, do you know why I'm making this point and emphasizing on it? I am actually offering you an opportunity. From now, once I give you a school to handle, you'll be preaching every week. That apart from evangelism, you'll be ministering to people every week. If you don't have a strong personal work, you might be enjoying it at first. By midday, you will run out of strength and motivation. You will get tired. To start with, you will not know what to preach again. And apart from the fact that I will give you a manual, you will forget. You know, he preaches to the same people for 1 year is hard. Because if you are preaching to different audience, you can go here, preach the same message here. Go to Abuja, preach the same message. But the same audience, you will forget what to preach. One day, you just wake up. Today is Friday, the school fellowship day. I preached on spiritual gifts last week. Last 2 weeks, I preached on prayer. Last 2 weeks, I preached on the word of God. What am I going to preach today? Today is question and answer session. Ask me anything. You know, what's happening is you're already getting tired. But if I have it, now this thing I'm sharing with you is one of the major things, questions I had. When I wanted to become a pastor, my question was, how can I possibly be preaching to the same audience on Thursday, on Sunday, and other days in the week for 30 years, the same people? Won't I run out of what to preach? And a man of God said, and that was my turning point. He said, if you have a solid, quiet time, I mean, you read the Bible every day. If you have a good culture of listening to messages and reading Christian books, you can never run out of what to preach. And I dare say that he's very correct. You read the Bible every day. You listen to at least one message every day. You read Christian books every month. You can never run out of what to preach. I'm not saying you'll be reading those things to preach. The more you are studying God's word, the more light will be coming into your spirit. So take your personal growth very seriously. It's a mistake many people make. They ignore their personal growth, you know, and they think they're going to be fine. Say amen. The next mistake many people make is inconsistency. And the Lord said I should emphasize this one very well. Because this one, I will not only teach it, I will discipline you for it if you default. Listen to me. No ministry, no team can grow with a leader who doesn't always show up. The first, I was telling my people in church, the first training, one of the first training you will get in ministry, listen to me everybody, listen carefully. One of the first training you get in ministry is learning how to be around. You know, I've said it many times. Learning how to be around. Many of us, that is why we have not seen success. You know, the first training I give people, notice where you become, when you become, my in church now, my ministers that work with me, the first thing I give them is, always be around church. Thursday, be around. Saturday, be around. Sunday. No, under no circumstance, even if it's your burial, should you be absent. Be around. You know why I teach them that? That's the first thing you need in ministry. How to. Some of you miss meetings too much. I couldn't come because I woke up and there was pipe in my ear. Like, all those things, you're not ready for ministry. I mean, before, even if you have a place to preach, always learn to be around. Always, if you've mastered the principle of availability, you've started learning ministry 101. Because that's what you carry into school. I cannot give you a school to lead, and some days you are not there. Because that day, you know, omekosime, and you must always be around. I said always. Let me say this to you. No work of ministry can grow if there's a leader that comes today and we are not sure that he will come next week and next 2 weeks and next 3 weeks he will show up. It can never grow. You will show up, preach powerfully, fall people down, they roll on the floor, but that work will never grow. But the people you are talking to will not even grow spiritually. You have to always be around. Always. You see, your people should know that any day we come here on Wednesday, we are going to meet her. No matter what. Any day. Any day. Let me say this to you. When CYF, you know, when CYF was CYF, I was still in school. I was still at Esutie, Abani. General house meetings, then, when I was connecting the Sukar territory, before we had to split and all of that, was holding in Onsuka. And I didn't miss one. I will come from a suit to the meeting because it's a training I have in ministry. You must be around. And that's where many people are going to default. That's why many people are going to struggle. Because, you know, that day, something came up. I woke up that morning, my mommy just called me and said I should come and pack beans. And I was packing that beans, sir, till 4 p.m. So I couldn't go. Rubbish. So should I not pack beans for my mother? You should. Wake up early. Anticipate the problem. Pack it a night before. Work much more. But always be around. Sir, I couldn't go to preach in that school because that day at my place of work, my manager said I should not go. It's not an excuse to me. Be around. The principle of availability is what makes for growth in ministry. So, if I say we are now handling Queen's Model, for instance, I expect that every week throughout this term, you will be at Queen's Model, except the meet and break. Every week, even if Tinubu resigns as president. That will be there every week. I just gave you the most impossible thing that can happen. Even if it happens, be there. Say amen. Even if that day is your burial, be there. And that's actually how I train people in ministry. Those days, you know, we used to do February conference. All those things are coming back. I'll still tell you how they're coming back. They're coming back this year. We do February conference. I remember some of those February meetings that we'll have. And then, they like some people, that day might be their matric. So like, Sister Joy, she's in Lagos now. That day was her matric. And I didn't know it was her matric, so I've already put, you know, those days we used to have school of ministry, share classes, you know, school of ministry stuff. So she was to handle a class. So when they announced there was a matric, it didn't shake me. It didn't mean anything to me. I just told her, make sure you take your class. So that day she was on full makeup in school. And then it was time she ran from there, came, took the school of ministry, finished her class properly. I said, sir, please, can I go back? I said, go back and continue your matric. Now, you must learn how to be around all the time. Says, sir, you don't care about me. It's my matric once in a lifetime. Matric. I didn't even go for my matric. Like, I wasn't that. I didn't go for my matric. Just that on that day, some senior people came and went and snapped picture and came back. If you see the rice these people brought when they were coming, that's the highlight of the day. With malt. Oh, like I remember. So I can't go there. Why? Today is my birthday and my boyfriend is taking me out. You and your big mouth. Without your big mouth. You must always be around. Say amen. Even if there is no transport fare, and don't be late. If it's 2 p.m., start trekking by 11. You know, I taught you yesterday how to do it, right? You get close to the school, what do? You toss your shoe. Clean your sweat. And turn to man of God, walk. When you enter the school, don't trek, walk. Yes, yeah. How are you guys doing? Glory to God, glory to God. It's good to see you. After preaching, you just do the same work. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I'll be here next week. Take that assignment seriously, okay? You leave the school. Don't let them see you off too far. And let me say this to you, that there are ways to convert things. If I don't have a car, and I go to preach in a school fellowship, and they want to, and they're going my way, I will trek with them. I'll tell them, you guys are trekking home. Yes. Okay. Don't worry, let me not take bike. Let's trek together. And I'm now teaching them on the road. How do you know? They'll be so happy that I'm trekking with uncle. They know that uncle does not even have transport fare. But it's all part of the game. I get what I'm talking about. Everything, there should be no excuse. Always be around. From your meetings. Look at this retreat now. Many people are not here. If you ask and they have their reasons, one of them will tell you the ear is paining. The other one will say, now it's bad training in ministry. Bad training. Bad training. My people that work with me in church, for instance, don't see where I'm from, in church, will tell you, even on Saturday is choir rehearsal, ushers are cleaning church. I am always there, seated. Like, I'm not coming there for anything. Some days we have meeting, but I don't come for nothing. I just come and stay. You must learn how to be around. Excuses are good reasons for failure. Excuses, good reasons for failure. And that's why I don't love excuses. It doesn't make sense to me. Give me one brother who is unserious, who is even a smoker, but he is always around. Give me 1 year, he'll become a big minister of God. Just the fact that he's always around. He says, I'm sending you to these schools. I may send you to go and preach in a school. And send another person to preach in a school. Maybe you don't even know how to preach. You don't even have power. Of course, everybody knows about power, but you don't even know how to do power move. But there's another person that is very charismatic. But you, every Wednesday, you will show up for your school, for your students. Every Wednesday. But that person comes once in a month or once in 2 weeks and does power move. Give 1 year. Your team, both their spiritual life, numerically, they will be 10 times bigger than the other one. You don't have to be too anointed. You just have to be around. I'm telling you a big secret. Digression now. That's why I encourage young pastors, when you start a new work, don't accept many invitations. Learn the discipline of staying with your church for at least 7 years. Amen. You know, I've done it. Huh? At least I've just been around. Any day you come here on a Thursday and a Sunday, and you don't see me, the atmosphere is always strange because it doesn't happen. The only reason you don't see me here as a pastor, for instance, on a Sunday or a Thursday, is that I went for a conference with my spiritual father where I'm there to learn. Second reason you will not see me here is that I'm in another branch of our church preaching. I can never be any place to preach on a Sunday. I've learned how to stay. Now, what I'm giving some of you is this thing, this opportunity I'm giving is mini pastoral ministry. An opportunity to partake of pastoral ministry as a young person. Take it seriously. Because you're about to go and mentor students committed to your care for a very long time. It is mini pastoral ministry. How you handle this will show whether God can commit unto you bigger treasures in the future. So if you don't want to do this, be out. If you want to do it, be there, be around. Every week. Every week. Amen. Every week. So the students will know you. Can you chop in salt when you go there every week? Obviously. When you come around and they become too familiar with you, they'll start insulting you. It's one of those things that can happen. But be there. Say amen. Inconsistency is one of the major undoing of many people that want to start structures, school fellowship, ministry and stuff. Inconsistency. So you must always be around. Always be around. Always show up. Yeah. Always show up. Remember, just show up. You came last week, there were only two people. Show up the next one. Be there. Be there. You came and you guys could not meet because of some reason. The next week, come around. Because whenever there's a challenge, your people want to know whether you will come. So come. And let me say this to you. Don't be in a habit of missing your meeting and delegating people to do things for you. Say, tell that student, that one that's serious, tell her to preach. Mm-mm. If you want to let a student preach, there is a provision for that we're going to make. Because they also need to preach to be able to be trained to be better. But let it not be because you yourself cannot come. Are you what I'm talking about? Are you following me? Be around. Don't delegate. Am I, this thing I'm preaching now, did I delegate to anybody? Am I not here with you? Don't you know, I was talking about being around and don't be ashamed. Don't you know that I'm a big minister? Don't you know I'm a big man of God? All of those things. But if you are come for this retreat and there are only seven of you, don't you think I will preach? I will preach. I'm not ashamed that, oh, we are not as big as I expected us to be. I will be here with you. I'll be here. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? So, please, be consistent. Be always around. Always show up. Always come. Always come. Always. Always. Make up your mind that throughout this year, you are not going to be absent. Both from the schoolwork they gave you and from the meetings. We have meetings every week. Because those meetings every month that we're going to be having here will be to train you. I cannot finish this note I have here now. But I'm not bothered because by next month, we're going to have a meeting where I intend to bring this training further. I'll throughout this year will be mentorship and training on how to handle the school that God has given you. Now, you have to always show up for that. But I tell you, I'm in for serious business this year. I give you a school to handle. I come for meeting 1, 2, 3 times. I did not see you without any reason. We'll take that school from you and sack you from that place. You cannot not be around for learning. And you want to be around for impacting people. It doesn't work. Any desire to teach that is not backed up by a desire to learn is simply a desire to entertain. You know what I said? Any desire to teach that is not backed up by a desire to learn is simply a desire to entertain. Just like any desire to work miracles that is not backed up by a desire to pray is simply a desire to make a caricature of yourself and of God. Caricature. Are you following me? And so you want to, you are happy now that they say you are going to be preaching in secondary school, but they will call me to you, will not come. If I don't see you 1 or 2 times, we remove you from there. Because we are so sure they are not making impact in those places. Because how can you give what you don't have? Say amen. I said, say amen. So inconsistency is a big deal. Now finally, are you happy to hear that? Finally, another mistake that many people make, many fellowship planters make, is having a small vision. Having a small vision. You cannot go beyond your vision.
God said unto Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, I will give you. Now, I want to ask you a question. If we give you a school to reach, a school to take over, what is your vision? Do you have a vision to just have 10 people in your fellowship? What is your vision? Now, here are these two major areas. These two major areas that you must develop a vision if you are as you get into the school system and don't have a supervision there. Number one is the spiritual growth of the people. So first thing I'm going to ask you, what is your vision for these people? When someone joins your team, what is your vision? Do you intend that in 1 month's time, this person should be able to pray for at least 30 minutes? That's a vision. That anyone that comes into this place and says for 1 month or for 2 months should be able to do this. Anyone that comes there for 1 week or 2 weeks should be able to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Anyone that comes there for 3 months should be able to know the Word of God, to be able to explain the Bible. You must have a vision for their spiritual growth. Are you getting the point? As a pastor, I have this whole main structures I put up in church because I have a vision. That when you join our church, when you join CF now, I'm hoping. Why do you think I'm stretching you, for instance, in this retreat? You've been here since 7 till now. Because I have a vision of what I want you to become spiritually. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So what is your vision for your people? Do you, in 3 months' time, one term is 3 months or shorter than that, what do you want to achieve in their lives? At the end of one term, should there be someone in your team who still doesn't pray in tongues? Should there be someone in that fellowship who still cannot pray for 1 hour? You should have things that you want to achieve. I have a big vision that if you become part of us for 1 year, by the end of 1 year, you have to be on fire. Have that vision. That by the time my fellowship people are coming for Doxa in August, I'm coming with spiritual firebrand men and women coming down from different places. That's a vision. Because it's not enough to gather people. Some pastors just have a vision for numerical growth. That's the second one. I'm coming to that. Some just have a vision for numerical growth. But they don't have a vision for the spiritual growth of their people. So what do? They come up with many dubious means of gathering a crowd. And all those crowds that are there, they are not growing, they are not serious, they are not committed, they can't even preach, they can't even pray, they can't even interpret the Bible. They don't know nothing. That's not a growing ministry. Have a vision that whoever the Lord commits your hand in this new term, that their life will feel the impact of the gospel. That they will catch fire. That they will be burning. That their hearts will be born for Jesus. That they will be able to heal the sick. That's a vision you can catch. Have big visions. Are you following me? That whoever joins your system, whoever joins your team, whoever joins your ministry, whoever joins that fellowship, that before the end of one term, oh my God, they should be able to pray in tongues and interpret it. They should be able to interpret. They should be able to, you know, do better. If they were struggling with habits, they should be testifying that they used to masturbate, but they don't masturbate anymore. They should be testifying that they used to do exam and practice, but they don't do it anymore. They should be testifying that they used to be in immoral relationships, but they're out of it. That's a vision you should cultivate. Are you following me? Catch the vision. Have a big one. Because take it from me, even if you have 1,000 people in your fellowship, and after one term, after two terms, the people that were lying still lie. People that we are doing boyfriend and girlfriend, they are still doing it. People that could not pray in tongues can still not pray in tongues. People that could not pray can still not pray. People that used to fight, they still fight. They're not doing well. So what is your vision for the spiritual growth of these people? And I want to say this before I begin to close. There is nobody, as you are going to reach out to these secondary school students, that is too small to grow spiritually. Nobody.
Nobody. The first time Udochukwu here came for a CYF meeting. What class are you in? GS1 or Primary 6? Primary 6, getting into GS1. Primary 6, first time. And we never thought that maybe she was too small. Anybody, when you go there, a GS1 student should be able to pray in tongues. What class were you when you became serious with God? Some of you can remember. I see some of you. Some of you are in SS1. Some of you GS3. Some of you primary. Some of you GS3. GS2. I get the point. Ask your neighbor, what class were you when you became serious with God? What class? What did they say? Some of you SS3. Some of you are in the university, whichever one. But that goes to show you that there is nobody at any level that cannot pick up in his walk with God. That's why you don't go to secondary school and you tell them, today we are going to be doing games. Everybody, Jack and Annie, Mark, Patty. Where now? Oh, Motua. Jack in the box. People don't know it. Jack in the box. I say, Jack in the box. I do like this. I do like that. And I balance well. You know, if you say that kind of thing, many people, you know, students like that kind of thing. They will come, but that's not what they're going there to do. Should that be times you have fun? Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But we are not trying to give them Jack in the box. What we want to do is to make them spiritually mature. Will you attempt that? That you should be able to pray. You should be able to read their Bible. That you should be able to study their Bible. Pray. Preach to other students. Lay hands on other students. Pray for other students that are sick. Someone has eye problem. They should be able to lay hands on that person. So they should be able to go to the sick bay of the school and lay hands on the people that are sick in those places. That's what you want to achieve in the life of the students. And God will help you. I say God will help you. So spiritual growth is the first thing you want to achieve. The next thing, obviously, you have a vision for, is numerical growth. Numerical growth. But you see, I put spiritual growth first before numerical growth. Hallelujah. So look at what you are trying to achieve. That we have number, a big number of people who are growing spiritually. So we want to have 100 people growing spiritually. We don't just want to have 100 people. We want to have 100 people who are growing spiritually. Do you understand the point? Because if you just want to have 1,000 people, it's very easy. Just do Jack in the Box. All of them will come. Organize comedy show. Today we are going to be having talent, comedy. All of them will come. That's what we want to achieve. We want to achieve a team of serious Christians who are plenty in number. So what, you have a vision for people. How many people do you want to have in your fellowship this term? That school will send you to how many people do you want to have there? 10 people? 5 people? 70 people? I pray that by your hands, God will raise people low. 200 people who are burning for Jesus in that school. That by the end of the term, when I ask you to present your report, what you'll be saying is, are things like, we have a need. Our need is that we now need public address system to address everybody. I get to the point. That's what your need should be. Numerical growth. 150 persons. 200 persons. 300 persons. In fact, the whole school can attend your fellowship, sir. Do you know it is very possible? I mean the whole school. Because once it is happening, students are rushing there. God will give you a very good problem. This time. You know, there are good problems. There are examples of good problems. Many. Good problem one is, we have a hall of 1,000 people. It cannot contain us now. That's a very good problem. Sir, where we are now, people are so big, my voice can no longer preach to them. We need public address system. That's a very good problem. Numerical growth. But there will not just be gathering of people who are unserious. Gathering of very serious people. Very serious people. God will use you mightily. I say, God will use you mightily. Are you seeing what God wants to do? Are you seeing the people that will gather? Are you seeing the different schools? So we're going to give you a school. Some of you will give you one school. Some of you will even give you two schools. Say amen. Say amen. Do you want like this? Do you have capacity? No muscle. God will use you. Take it. Now some of you are quite young. I'm seeing a number of you that just came out from secondary school. It's okay. It was, sincerely, it was at your age that CYF started. I just left secondary school. That's when CYF started. I was as young as you were, actually. It was at your age that CYF started. So I don't even think when pastor is saying he's going to send us to school, you're wondering, it's not me that will send, though. It's all these big people. It's you. You. Glory to God. Yeah. Anybody can be used of God. And I want to close by saying, never say I'm too small. Because you are not. God will use you. For his own glory. Say amen. Are you blessed? Lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.